Good Morning Football is a production of the NFL in partnership with iHeartRadio.
And we're back. Said in my, what is that, AM radio?
And we're back, yes. Coming at you.
Kyle Brandt, what's up?
Hey, what's happening, Kay? Back from Poland, no less. Look at you. Incredible. Your homeland.
I went to go see my fam, catch up with everybody. It was great. This is the Good Morning Football podcast, by the way. Peter Schrager, who has been working nonstop. But you did go to L.A., buddy.
I did. I had a little L.A. visit, a quick one, in and out. But it is good to be back on the show and to be back in the podcast hot seat. It feels great, Kay.
Did you go to actual In-N-Out?
I did not. We can get into that whole thing.
No, let's get into it right now, because I think Nate Burleson over here, and I love In-N-Out. What do you mean? You don't like it?
I had it once. It was good. I'm not that guy, though.
Name a better burger. Oh.
Okay. I like Whataburger in Texas.
Whataburger's good.
That's really good. And I like Shake Shack in New York.
Shake Shack, very good.
So right Grand there, Central. In-N-Out is already on the bottom of the top five. They're in the three spot.
I put In-N-Out on top.
It's California way of life. Nate,
I'm going
like
Jack in the Box in Seattle.
Get out of here.
Jack in the Box.
You Del go to Taco. Jack in the Box Del for tacos.
Jack in the Box used to have like razors in the food when I was a kid.
It's what we used to refer to as
an urban legend.
They've got like
man.
Fried tacos in there.
Yak in a box, as we call it on the West Coast.
Del Taco.
I went to LA as well just for a couple of days. I went and worked in Total Access, did 2 days of work with Sean O'Hara. Saw him down there.
Sean O'Hara.
And then I hit the streets at night. You know, LA was fun for me, as it always is.
Where'd you hit the streets?
Tao. They opened up a restaurant, so they did a big show. It was like a circus out there. They actually had like trapeze artists, and you went from the actual restaurant, and then right next door they had a club.
Drop the names, Nate. Drop the names.
Who did you see?
Sean McVay. Right out the gate. He taps me. He's like, yo, what's up, bro? I'm like,
keeping a low profile for sure as a Rams coach. Hey. Going to the Tao party. Okay.
In them streets.
Yeah. Up in the valley? No.
Looking good. Looking handsome. Out about in the town. Him and his boys.
You have such a man crush on him.
He's my favorite coach right now. Yeah. And then we got inside and, you know, in comes Odell, Von Miller, Jarvis Landry. They were hanging out.
Wow.
You know, dapped them up. They were all like, what's up? What's good? How you doing? I had a good conversation with Jarvis. He's like, man, I got to talk to you, man, about some stuff regarding football and business, man.
Cool.
I need your advice, big bro. So,
can you let us in on that?
It was weird. At this point, I think it was like midnight.
Bottles are popping.
Yeah, your bottles are popping. People are moving and shaking. And they didn't stay for long. They were on to the next location. And he was like, yo, I need to talk to you. And I'm like, all right, cool. Now, we didn't talk that night, but it's a pressing conversation. So once I do have a conversation with him, we'll talk about it on the next podcast. I was super interested. Like, while he was talking to me, like, my eyebrows were raised. I'm like, damn, he has something on his mind, which is great to hear. Young guy wanting to talk about football, finances, and the next step. Mm-hmm. I love it. Maybe he's opening up a business. Maybe he's trying to figure out what he wants to do post-career. Either way, you know, I'll be here for him to lean on.
Any Kardashians?
No.
Did you get TMZ'd, Nate? They roll up to you. Hey, Nate Burleson.
Didn't get TMZ'd. Didn't see the Kardashians. But
he did prepare Sean McVay for
the
TMZ.
There was a lot of men out, a lot of men groupies, as I like to call them. I don't know if there's a word for that. And there's a lot of women out. I'm not going to use it for women, but there was a lot of female groupies out.
Good.
It was an active weekend in L.A. I actually left Saturday morning to get back to New York because whole weekend in L.A. is too much for your boy. 48 hours is enough.
Uh-huh. Interesting. Very good. And you, let's see, Mr. Palm Beach.
I went to Palm Beach, but before I did that, I went to Waukegan, Illinois.
Is that your hometown?
No, my hometown is Lake Bluff, but long story short, I was going out to dinner with some high school friends. We're having a little dinner party, couples party. Stevenson High School, Adlai E. Stevenson, alma mater of Rex and Rob Ryan and Ron Goldman. Rest in peace. We were going out to have dinner with some friends. And so I want to go out and buy some sort of liquor, you know, not like some pretentious bottle of Cab or whatever. These are my high school friends. I wanted to find what we used to drink
pop
in high school.
Off.
Oh,
right, maybe
man.
Pop off. But we used to drink this thing when we were 16 called Aftershock. Okay?
Wait. Okay, keep going.
Aftershock was this red stuff.
I know exactly.
It had crystals in the bottom of it. Okay. So I wanted to find a bottle of Aftershock because it's funny to bring to the dinner party instead of wine. So I'm going to all of these liquor stores, and someone says, there's a place in Waukegan that might have it. So I drive up to Waukegan, which is out of the way from me. I go in. They don't have the Aftershock, which I was pissed about because I went all the way up there. It's kind of a long drive.
Goldschlagers.
But they got the Schlager, which we also drank when we were 16.
Love the Goldschlager.
So I walk the aisles. I finally pick out just something normal, not whatever. And so my mom and Evelyn are 8 months older in the car with the car running.
How many liquor stores did you guys
We went to a few. We had nothing to do. The baby was sleeping, so you just drive around and do anything.
Right,
you drive
sure.
to Waukegan for Aftershock.
What else did you walk around? Drive around looking for
so
liquor
So I pay
stores.
For my booze, and there's a few customers in there, and as I'm walking out, I hear, yo, and a tap on the shoulder. And I immediately got, like, alarmed because I was thinking, like, do they think I stole something? Like, that's what immediately went through my head. Like, and then I'm like, did I steal something? No, I don't think so. And I turned around, and this person's grabbing me on the shoulder, and I was nervous, and you got tense.
White dude, black dude?
Black dude. And I turn around, and he goes, yo. And I go, yeah, what? He goes, KB? And I go, yeah. He goes, yo, good morning, football. And it's an elixir. He's screaming this. And I was like, yeah. He goes, yo. He couldn't stop saying yo. And he was doing it into his hand like this. He was going like this, yo. Yeah. Over his hand. And I go, yeah, man. Yeah, you watched the show? Hell yeah, I watched the show. And he was way into it.
That's
so
a great
excited.
Feeling, man.
We got to take a picture.
Can you with a KB instead of a Kyle Brandt?
KB. And then K, the best is yet to come. So I go, oh, thank you for watching. First of all, I'm wearing the Jordans that Nate gave me, which are these really
cool,
impressive,
like,
Jordans.
Limited edition.
And then he looks down at my shoes and goes, yo, look at those J's. He's like, you crazy rich. And I was like, no, I'm not. I actually got them from Nate. He's like, yeah, Nate's my guy. Like, but I love K. And he goes to me, he goes, hey, you got K on FaceTime? And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, FaceTime K right now. I want to talk to him. Like, no, dude. And I'm like, what's your name? Antoine, I am not FaceTime K. Come on, you got to FaceTime. I'm a big fan.
Did you FaceTime me?
No, I did not FaceTime.
Oh, I was in Poland where there was no Wi-Fi.
Can you imagine me and Antoine FaceTime using the liquor store?
Can you imagine me at my grandmother's funeral picking up a FaceTime from Kyle Brandt in Poland?
FaceTime. So I didn't do it, but he took a picture with me, full selfie, and then as we're taking the picture, this woman walks in, and she goes, yo, is he famous? And the guy goes, hell yeah, he's famous. Get up. She's like, I want a picture with him too. So she takes me, having no idea who I am.
That's the Nate Burleson.
My mom is watching the whole thing from the car, just laughing at me and pointing the whole thing. And I'm trying to find it on Instagram, but I can't find Antoine on Instagram.
But nobody can find Aftershock. I have to Google this immediately.
Aftershock.
Hey, but it's a good feeling, though.
Great feeling.
It's crazy, but it's a good feeling.
I mean, it was so fun. And the way that he shouted out you and he appreciated my shoes, which made me feel cool. Yeah. Waukegan, you know, so it was a great, best fan encounter I've had.
Gotta tell you guys, nobody in Poland knows who the hell we are.
All them shout outs and
they don't know.
Streets of Warsaw, nothing?
Nothing in the streets of Warszawa. Well, let's talk about what we missed, I guess.
What about you?
I went to Poland
and
hung out with my family.
LA?
No. I was supposed to go to LA.
You didn't go to LA. Okay.
Did a little switcherooski.
Switched to Poland. Family.
FaceTime KB.
FaceTime KB. What do we miss in the NFL, right? We finally got back together. We have the show. We're back on live NFL Network every morning. The Marshawn Lynch thing was the most exciting to me. I know we're going to get into the Raiders and their relocation, but him potentially playing for the Raiders is so sexy, and it has to happen. Do not rain on our parade, Peter Schrager, because I know 30-year-old running backs. Blah, blah, blah,
I know,
blah, blah.
And I even felt like we did that on the show. Someone had to play.
You had to do it.
And you do it all the time.
I didn't even feel
the contrarian.
Because I was saying Sean Alexander played for the Redskins. Who remembers it? And, you know, Tiki Barber tried to come back with
Liddell Betts made the show.
Liddell Betts with the Saints.
I forgot.
So in 2015,
Tiki.
He played, I think, like 6 games or maybe 8 games. He dealt with a hamstring injury. He had the sports hernia. But the year before that, the full season, he was a monster. Mm-hmm. 17 touchdowns. Led the league from 2011 to 2015 with 51 touchdowns. And, I even if he doesn't still have it, I want to see it play out.
Yeah. Well, I think we all want to see it. And Peter says he's playing the contrary, but I believe that there's a lot of people that have that thought, even in the back of our minds.
You're not allowed to vocalize it.
We're
though,
showing
right?
excitement. Me and KB are just as excited, but we're thinking the same thing you're thinking is, he's over 30, and how can he come back after sitting out a year? But, Kay, you mentioned the hamstring and the groin and all the different injuries. I remember at halftime of one of the games his last year in Seattle, he didn't even go in. He just sat on the table and, like, warmed his back up, which – to me, was to my point I made on the show about him checking out, is a guy that didn't want to be there. Because even if your back is sore, you can walk in, you can hobble in, you can get carted in. You're going to make it into halftime to sit and listen to what your head coach has to say. And as a guy just being removed from the game, I thought to myself, Marshawn doesn't want to be there. There's something going on within that relationship mm-hmm. that is completely disconnected. And I feel like that relationship has ran dry. He's not going to go back to Seattle. Even though Pete Carroll would selfishly want him to put back on a jersey, he's not going to play for Pete Carroll again. He's not going to play for the organization, but he will play for Oakland, and he will play. I honestly believe a gut feeling that
– you said Pro Bowl on the show, Nate.
Marshawn, even though he is banged up, I feel like he didn't play through those injuries that last year in Seattle. I just feel like he's like, you know what, I'm injured.
Check that.
I'm good. Which isn't his personality.
And nobody wants to walk off like that.
Yeah. Now he's going to come back, and even if he is banged up, even if he is 30, even if he is sore, he's going to play through that. I just – his interview after he left football, remember when he was talking, he said, run through the guy's face.
Yes, yes.
Over and over. Like, that's his mindset. You telling me that dude can't get back on the field and score 10-plus touchdowns?
Sure.
Even if he's just close in the red zone? Like, let the young guys do all the work. Mm-hmm. Give it to him within 20 yards.
And you look at the offensive line in Seattle, now look what he has in Oakland.
And look at the receivers.
Pretty nice.
That means as a defense, you got to come in completely honest, saying, damn, we got to respect Derek Carr. Damn, we got to respect Mark Cooper. Damn, we got to respect Kraft.
Did you see Eddie George as a Cowboy? Did you see Emmitt Smith as a Cardinal? I mean, this is a big back, too.
Yeah, but look at those. Look at the surrounding pieces to those guys you just named. Like, this is a different team. This is a team that at some point in the season we thought we're going to be in the Super Bowl.
Yeah. I also think Seattle, they owe it to him to release him. Not only for time served, but also because they should have given him the game-winning touchdown in the Super Bowl. And they blew it, and that could have been his legacy, and they deprived him of that.
Maybe
they
that has something to do with him wanting to come back, too.
Maybe it is. Like, regret.
Mm-hmm. Like, that's his most
memorable
play.
I also think it's weird to say about a rough-and-tumble running back, but I genuinely think he is one of the most exciting players in the league. Like, I think when he gets to that second level and starts punching people, like, not stiff-arming, punching them in the face, it gives me goosebumps. I want to see it again.
A 7-yard run is exciting.
It's awesome. Nobody runs angrier in the whole league than Marshawn. And if he came back for that, like, victory tour in silver and black, it's great television.
Kyle,
great
did you
theater.
See Brandon Jacobs on the 49ers?
I do. How could you miss him? He's 260 pounds.
Not New Jersey.
Remember Arian Foster in the Dolphins jersey?
No, I don't.
Not New Jersey.
Short-lived. No, I don't remember it at all.
Sean Alexander with the Redskins? New Jersey.
I'm just saying, sometimes, you know.
Remember OJ in the 49ers? Yeah. Just killing it. No, so to speak.
Yeah. Sometimes that memory is different, though, right?
Does it? I don't know.
I think it does. I don't know why. Maybe it's because he's from Oakland, so it's like the perfect narrative.
And it's the year off.
Perfect situation.
The year off.
Come on. The year off.
Listen.
Couldn't that be a bad thing?
I'm not Marshawn, like, by any stretch of the imagination. But when I retired, when I left Cleveland, I had just torn my hamstring. I broke my arm for the second time. And my groin was hurting. And I thought to myself, I'm done. This is stupid. Like, what am I doing? Like, what am I chasing? I'm not going to play on a team that's going to win a Super Bowl. I'm not going to fight through these injuries. I'm sitting there popping a Advil and drinking a Red Bull before practice. Like, if that's what I'm doing to get through the week, then what the hell am I going to do for 16 weeks? And then after a year being on TV, I'm like, man, my body's feeling all right. Decent. All right. A year and a half afterwards, I was thoroughly convinced, and I'm 35. I'm 3 years removed now. Thoroughly convinced that I can go back and play. Like,
really?
Without a doubt. My body couldn't hold up. I feel like I would break bones. I would tear something.
So what does that mean? One game you could play, or you could play a whole season?
No, I could play a whole season right now, without a doubt in my mind.
Without a doubt.
Not as a number one. Maybe a 2-3.
You can make a roster.
I could make a roster.
Why don't you do it?
Without a doubt in my mind. Because I don't think my body can hold up.
As Marshawn's the Frappuccino shows up.
So, yeah, I know. To that point,
such a good call.
Marshawn, a year out. All the things we saw him as, like, oh, man, he's getting old. Remember, it was 1 year. It wasn't like it was a progression of 3 years where we're like, damn, Marshawn's falling off. It was a great year and then a bad year. Mm-hmm. So that 1 year where he didn't fight through the injuries, he's going to be healed a year removed of not getting hit. He feels great right now.
Remember Steven Jackson on the Patriots?
I do. You're just racking your brain thinking of more of them, aren't you? Michael Turner.
Ronnie Brown.
I like that he's feeding
uniform.
Into it, though. If you look at his Twitter timeline, he's like retweeting things people are saying about go to Oakland. I kind of dig that.
Yeah, and it's a cool story for a team that's going to lose its team.
Hell
for
yeah.
A city.
Be
like,
excited about something.
He's the hometown guy, and he's awesome.
He's also he's like the clown prince of the NFL. Yes. He truly is. He's an agent of chaos. Yeah. He's the biggest X factor in terms of media, and to put him in Oakland, who's now totally relevant. We talked about him all year. It's amazing for us.
And he's the new comparison. Like a new running back comes in, and he's good. Todd Gurley comes in, and
he's
like,
got some Marshawn in him.
He got some Marshawn. Mm-hmm. Zeke, Marshawn, Melvin Gordon, second year in the league, playing like Marshawn. He's the comparison. So when you're the comparison, we all want you to come back. Mm-hmm. The one thing that's interesting about this, and this is, I guess, a subplot to the actual story, is what's going to happen when it comes down to the actual Willen and Dylan. Like, will Seattle actually let him go? And if they don't, they will be looked at as a bad guy, which is weird because it isn't their fault. Like, you're under contract, you're under contract.
Right.
Like, they don't. Like you said, I think we agree they owe Marshawn to let him go, but they don't have to.
That's true.
As a business, they could be like, you know what? No, if you're going to play, you come play for us.
Peter, remember Eddie Lacy on the Seahawks? Remember how that went?
But if they do that.
Latavius Murray on the Vikings?
Yeah, remember that?
That's terrible, looking into the future. If they do that,
that's cold.
They're going to be the bad guys. Like, everybody's going to say, oh, come on, Seattle. Right. It's ridiculous. Let my people go. In the Moses voice. Like, and that's going to be interesting to see what happens moving forward.
If you're the Raiders, do you want Marshawn Lynch or Adrian Peterson?
Marshawn. Without a doubt in my mind.
Why? Give me Marshawn.
I like Adrian, and you know I'm glad that he came out and said the rumors are false. You know, I'm going to play. It's not about the money. But I feel like the potential for what you're going to get. Now, it's a small room of success, right? Marshawn's over 30, been out he's not going to come out and be Marshawn at 25. Adrian Peterson, he's had injury after injury. He's not going to come out and be Adrian Peterson at the age of 25. But the potential of what you could get, I think there's more of a possibility of success and durability through a 16-week season with Marshawn as a player on your roster versus Adrian.
Oakland was like the dream destination for running backs going into free agency. Yo, Kyle, KB, what do we miss?
Antoine. You know, I talked about this on the show today. That Tom Brady jersey thing was so fascinating because it truly was an amazing story while it was going on, like a Dateline NBC or 48 Hours, and the conclusion lived up to the hype.
Oh, my gosh.
It might have even been better than
I think it was better.
You're working round the clock.
You remember when you first saw the video? Like, I remember. Like, I was in my room. I was blown. Oh, couldn't leave the screen.
Which
turned
video?
It up.
Which one?
The security video.
They showed the whole video from the end of the game. This very zoomed
the
out.
Fox
clip
cameras of, tracked him for 30 minutes, and
right after the game, right, he's just walking around the field, and then the moment where the locker room is closed to only teammates and Patriots organization personnel,
and he slides in with Belichick.
He walks in with his lanyard, kind of lightweight cover,
right behind
and just like.
With Belichick,
he's so smooth that he's super confident. So nobody stopped him because everybody's celebrating. No media.
And
this guy
is the best.
I haven't seen this yet.
You got to watch it. Okay,
it's so good.
It's like the Bourne movies.
I was living under a Polish rock.
I'll send it to you.
You know how when they're watching like the surveillance videos in Bourne movies, and there's that moment where the guy's like, "Jesus Christ, that's Jason Bourne." It was like, "Jesus was like Christ, that's Martin Ortega."
Yeah.
And he has the jersey and his body language. I used to work in the mall. I worked at like the movie store, Suncoast Motion Picture Company.
I love that.
And they would train us on guys who were going to be shoplifters. And they're like, "It's not the antsy guys you got to worry about. It's the cool calm guys."
I
did. And they can't believe that I worked at Suncoast. His body
did
language
is so cool.
Did you
find me for not rewinding? Because I never did.
It was in the DVD era as it came in. You got to be kind, okay? Rewind. No, that's Blockbuster. Here you only bought.
Yeah.
But anyway, his body language looked like a really good, like someone who's trying to dine and ditch at Denny's or something. Like, just play cool. Look at your watch.
It's a smooth one.
He's walking in behind.
We had the wrong footage on the show today.
The blurred out footage. I know.
Yeah, I wanted that. I think that's why I'm confused.
Because there's a moment where he looks at the camera and,
and they pause it.
He
looks at the camera.
He looks at the camera.
And then wait, he walks out of the locker room with the bag.
Yes.
And he gives one last look back.
Yeah.
It is.
Ocean's 11.
So here's the deal.
You know why? Because he's been there before.
It got released. I'll tell you honestly my perspective on it. It got released while I was in the air to LA. And I land and Garofolo's texting me nonstop. Have you seen this? Have you seen? And I swear to God, I wrote back to Mike, not knowing it was a Glazer Fox story. I said, "I'm a little over the jersey. I just don't care." And he goes, "You have to watch the video." I'm like, "I'm over it." He's like, no.
As we all were.
You have to watch it to understand it. It is like Ocean's 11. It is like
Thomas Crown.
It is like a great caper what this guy is doing. And the kicker of it, which I mentioned on our show, this isn't some like jewel thief. This is the editor-in-chief of
intern at some
reputable Mexican newspaper. Like, this guy is using his media credential to steal. And when they showed up at his house, not only did he have
Shows up at his house?
The
feds.
Police?
Law
they
were tracking it because he was going to sell it. So they were tracking this black market deal that
was
about to go down.
But was it on? It was like on the market. Somebody like they
I
had
guess
a
he
buyer.
Was,
see, I don't know about that, and that was my question because
FBI
Kraft said that too.
From what I read,
FBI
he was negotiating
with,
the deal.
Yes,
FBI worked with Eric
see how
Shanks,
good the story
president
is
of Fox,
with
to
Fox?
Use all the footage.
Yes, to
they
watch.
Have all the cameras. And but Fox had all the footage because they broadcast the Super Bowl.
They
and
had everything.
It's unbelievable.
Kraft's point was, it's like taking a Picasso. You can't hang it on your wall. Like, what was his end game with the jersey, with the Brady jersey? You can't fence it. You can't
sell
it. It's
and
a stolen item,
with
though.
A Von Miller helmet
there's
that he didn't sell.
A Von Miller helmet and another Brady jersey.
So I've got two more wrinkles to
and
it.
And then there's a Kurt Warner story that's really weird. Have you read that one?
So I don't know that one. So the
it's amazing.
The hour after the Super Bowl, Brady's jersey was missing. Immediately, and I think this is like breaking news because I got all the Fox backstory. The FBI is like to Fox, you need to look through all this stuff and get to it. So it took them from the Super Bowl till when this came out a couple of weeks ago of a guy in Oklahoma.
In a dark room.
In a dark room in Oklahoma.
Because they're looking through every
with all the footage
and every picture.
Of looking for similar faces of who's in what scene, what scene. Here's the other wrinkle to it. Von Miller says to Glazer, and I think Glazer might have said it on air. If not, I'm stealing his thunder. I'm sorry. His helmet's missing. He doesn't care. His cleats are missing too, and they haven't found those yet. And that's what he wanted
in Mexico,
Super Bowl, his Super Bowl cleats. And so Glazer's whole thing is, if Von Miller's missing his and Brady's missing two jerseys, how far does this go back?
Mm-hmm.
Are we looking for Jeff Hostetler's jersey?
Yeah.
Are we looking for John Riggins'
Bart Starr's jerseys in Mexico?
This guy's been credentialed to every Super Bowl for the last 20-something years.
Yep.
Has he been taking things for all these years and we just don't know it? Like
he had to. Like, honestly, he had to.
He's getting more
as
brazen,
good
too.
As he is, he had to. Like, the moment he walks in, because I'm watching this footage and I'm thinking to myself, because we couldn't see in the locker room, right? There's no cameras where guys are getting dressed at. The pads, the jersey was brought in on the pads by somebody that worked for the team.
Yeah, I watched that.
He either placed it in front of Brady's locker or in the equipment room. I'm not sure he removed the jersey. So this guy either had to peel the jersey off of the shoulder pads.
Yes, there's another video. Nate, hold on. I can answer that.
Yes.
There's a video of Tom Brady in the locker room saying, yo, B, to the equipment manager, where's my jersey? I just put it in my bag. I'm 100% positive it was in my bag. Where's my jersey?
I've seen that video.
Yeah, and then B goes, then we got to stop people at the door and make sure nobody leaves.
He took it out the bag.
Yeah, he took it out of his duffel bags. $2,000 duffel bag.
That's when he made the eBay joke, right?
Yeah.
He walks into the locker room with no bag and leaves with a bag on his shoulder.
So casual.
It was like a briefcase bag, like a little
under his
satchel.
Under his arm.
And then he walks away with the plastic bag. He switches arms.
I'm kind of disappointed it's over. Next year he's going to take the Lombardi Trophy.
Here's the crazy thing.
I don't understand. How are there no charges?
All right, so
and
that's
the jurisdiction.
And he walks out of the locker room through
and
the tunnel
looks
and then
one
back
more
through
time.
The field.
Yes.
Past me, if you watch, I'm doing the postgame show.
You see
you could have tackled him.
Why didn't you stop him?
You see this head? It's like Waldo. He walks behind. The one last thing I want to say before you go into the jurisdiction of it, because I don't know. I don't know how all that.
I read some stuff last night. That's what I know.
Here's the other thing. We never catch him red-handed in the videos. There's no video of this guy taking the jersey.
Ooh, right.
So there's still this 1% of doubt in everyone's mind. Like, yeah, you connected all the dots. He's got a bag. But at no point do we see him taking the jersey.
That's true.
And yet
that's true.
They find it in Mexico. So I guess he did, right?
Yes. And look, as I understand the criminal thing, there's an issue of not pressing charges. And there's some who believe that it's a Tom Brady decision to let this thing go or a Patriots decision to let this thing go. I have a friend who is a police officer. I spoke to him about this last night. And he goes, listen.
He calls your sources?
I did. And I text him. And he goes, listen, it's a shirt. It's petty theft. I understand that it was
the
worth a lot of money.
The value of it, though, is $500,000.
I know. He's like, but in the scheme of things, I'm telling you the way I look at this, a shirt got stolen.
I don't
know. That's what he said.
If someone stole $500,000 of cocaine, they'd be on it.
I know, but then how is he going to ever get $500,000? How is he going to get $500 for that jersey? I don't know how that works.
You can sell it on the black market, bro.
What does that even mean?
I don't know, man. I watch movies.
I have no idea. I've heard of it, but I don't know what it is.
I know they sell stuff.
Yes.
Oh, my God. They have it all on tape.
There it is.
Case, watch it. Listen, that's what
if you
want
to sell that Frappuccino on the black market, how do you do that? Well, what is the black market?
There's an underbelly of society where they
sell. You're just bullcrapping from movies,
I am,
man.
I am.
But wouldn't the purchaser
underbelly?
Where do they sell the stolen art from?
In the underbelly, right?
Yeah. Where do those stolen Picassos go?
The underbelly.
They sell it.
All this has proved to me that I have to watch what I'm doing when I'm at the Super Bowl because
cameras everywhere.
They can watch us eating at Papacito's anytime.
Oh yeah, you're right.
Unbelievable.
So we missed that.
It was awesome. What we also missed? Draft stuff we could talk about, but you know, to me the Kaepernick thing was a story, and it was an interesting one because
he walks in right behind Belichick. Yes. Sorry, I'm done.
Yeah. Like eyeballs. Belichick and his lady. There, he walks right behind.
He walks right by Kyle Van Noy. I don't blame Kyle Van Noy, but in clean air, you know, sight, he walks right by Van Noy. A player is just like, all right.
I think Van Noy should have
done
something.
He just won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, he's
crazy.
Not thinking about this.
It's so good. I'm like Kyle. I'm kind of mad it's over because even though I'm.
Oh,
there! Brady got his jersey back. I want this caper to continue forever.
I feel like next year he's going to take a person. Like he's going to take one of the players. So he has to up his game. That's why I'm glad there's no pressure charge.
Yeah, he's going to steal a long snapper.
Fine.
Yeah.
What did he miss?
This Kaepernick thing. He's remained unsigned, and this became a passion for a lot of people online because they're saying now we're getting to the area of free agency where your Mark Sanchez is getting contracts and Josh McCown and how can Colin Kaepernick? And we opened it up. I thought Brian Billick was really eloquent on it today on our show, just saying. You know, he had an opportunity to sign Randall Cunningham when everyone said Cunningham was done. And Cunningham said, I understand I'm a backup quarterback. I could still play from the pocket. And it worked out wonderfully. This is a little bit of a different thing because you have this political message underlining it all where, you know, Kaepernick did not stand for the national anthem. And the theory online on Twitter from the masses who are passionate about this is that the reason he's not getting a job is because he had these political views and he's viewed as an outlier, an outcast for that.
Yeah, no, I believe that there is a huge part of the owners that think they don't want to deal with the issue.
Do you believe
or the problem?
That?
Yeah, 100%. There's no reason a guy who made it to an NFC Championship game, who made it to the Super Bowl,
what about
at one
the fact
point,
he can't throw anymore, or shoulders
well,
on it.
Well, how much of that is true? 16 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, when he first started in this league, we were crowning him as the next generation.
And that was in 2013, and last year he had his second best passer rating since then.
Exactly. So everybody's saying, well, he's had a fall off in production, but what about last year? And what about some of these quarterbacks that have been signed? Now, I know there's different circumstances for different guys. Guys are making different amounts of money, and certain players aren't coming in to be starters on a roster. But has Kaepernick came out and said that I won't fight for my position or I won't be a number two? You know, one thing he has came out and said that I'm going to stand up for a national anthem. Now, there's two ways I feel about that. One, seems like the timing is right for you to say that as a player because maybe you're saving face. But then there's a part of me that says maybe his point is across. We talked about it for long enough. He said, I want to start dialogue and I want to do something moving forward. He's done a lot in the time that all this has went down, the amount of money, time, and energy he's given to different causes throughout not just the state he plays in, not just throughout the nation, but throughout the world. Mm. So maybe he's saying, okay, I've done enough. And the conversation started, I'll stand. Now it is perfect time because free agency, and maybe he's trying to have a better understanding that I don't want these teams to have to worry about an issue. With all that being said, just like Kay said, if you have the second best passer rating in your career in 11 games, you throw 16 touchdowns, which some of these second-tier quarterbacks, yeah, with the players he threw to, why wouldn't you give this guy a shot? Now we got to talk about football, X's and O's. Does he fit in every system? No. Is there a handful of teams that he can work perfectly on? Yes.
Name them right now. Name one.
Carolina Panthers.
As Cam Newton's backup.
Yeah, as Cam Newton's backup.
Okay.
Now, and that's a valuable position because Cam Newton get hit a ton.
He's coming off a shoulder injury now.
So, you know, I feel like that type of system can work well. There's other systems that aren't all traditional drop back teams. Even Seattle, for what it's worth.
Seattle.
Look at Russell Wilson goes down.
Seattle was going to be my choice there.
If Russell Wilson goes down, your backup situation is the young fella. What is his name?
Trevon Boykin, who just got in trouble with the law, I believe. Anyway.
Right?
That one works because I think Pete Carroll also sets that mindset of be whatever.
In Seattle. I'm from Seattle.
Progressive.
Mike Bennett said on NFL Network he's a great quarterback.
Yeah, Sherman's talking about him too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think one of the more interesting things Billick said was he went into a rant about, are you all about football? Like, is that what you're about? And I look at Kaepernick, like, he's got all these causes, he's donating all this money, and he's very interested and invested in that, and maybe that's his calling. I don't know. I mean, I see these reports that he gave this much money to this, and he's talking about this, and that's awesome. But then I hear Billick, who won the Super Bowl, and is like, I want a guy who's just all-day football, nothing but, nothing less, all football. I don't know if that's Kaepernick.
Are you playing pickup ball with the rookies after practice? I mean, that's like the little stuff.
Well, you brought up a good point about a number two quarterback, that so much of your job—
I didn't say it on air. And
all right, good, bring it up.
Everyone says, how could you hire Josh McCown? He's 2-20 his last 22 starts, and he's a 38-year-old. But the backup quarterback role is different than the starting quarterback role. And the backup quarterback role, Nate, you know it far better than I do. You have to almost work twice as hard. You've got to be the one who can educate the younger quarterbacks in the room. A lot of times you're the guy who's relied upon in practice to know the opposing quarterback. And I'm not saying Kaepernick's not capable of being a great veteran backup quarterback in the league. But for a New York Jets team with two young quarterbacks, Petty and Hackenberg, and maybe a first-round pick, Josh McCown might be the better backup than Colin Kaepernick because they know from a track record, Josh McCown's going to come in there and teach you how to read a playbook, do defenses, and has worked under 30 offensive systems.
Is a guy like Aaron Murray going to do that?
I think Aaron Murray.
Has he been to, what, two NFC championship games?
That's
no,
fair.
Colin Kaepernick.
It's
tough to argue for Aaron Murray over Colin Kaepernick.
But I look at guys like.
I don't. The fits are one thing, but looking at just the names of the guys that have been signed.
It's a little weird.
But would Colin Kaepernick play for 1 year, $500,000?
No. I don't think so. And you know, I agree
with
you.
Not that he's been offered it.
To that point, I agree with you. And it's similar to what Kay says all the time when describing somebody that is an integral part of anything. It's. The guy has to be a rug because he has to tie the room or bring the room together. The
backup quarterback. Me and Jeff Lebowski.
Nate going Lebowski. Right. Great,
the,
Nate.
The backup quarterback has to be that because oftentimes the starting quarterback has so much on his plate that the back quarterback has to tie in the starting quarterback with the coaching staff, with the receivers, and be that voice in that guy that can always pat the starting quarterback on the back but also be ready and have enough confidence in himself all the while being in constant communication with the whole organization. I don't know if that's Colin Kaepernick. And I don't want to start rumors, but from things that I've heard about Colin, he wasn't the best at doing
it's
that.
It's been reported that, right? That he was a kind of a loner in recent years.
And he wasn't the guy that would say, hey, we need to go out and do this. Because, like you said, there's a lot of different things that are on
his
plate.
He also won an award this year from the Niners that he was the best. The players voted that he was the best teammate in the room.
Maybe
so.
He
can
has learned.
Can I just throw the name Geno Smith out there and see what –
Again,
I mean,
though,
really,
small
guys?
Money. Yeah, I don't know.
I just feel like
Kaepernick should play for small money.
Though. Okay.
I mean, yeah, if he wants to play.
All right, now,
he said he won't.
He hasn't. You're right. Maybe he would play.
With all this said – I will say this. I feel like Colin Kaepernick, more than RG3, more than some quarterbacks that have, quote-unquote, fell off, he will bounce back and have, like, a better climb to where he once was because of what he went through. Like you said, being voted best teammate, something he wouldn't have gotten 5 years ago. Having the complete up and down from a statistical standpoint, which means if he comes back and is committed to the game, he's going to work on improving the things that we are constantly criticizing, which means you might get a better version of him as a quarterback. And then lastly, the on-the-field/off-the-field issues, the political and social issues that he kneeled down for, and seeing the – I would say the true, I guess, character of fickle fans, not the unwavering ones because they're always going to be there. I'm talking about the fickle ones, the ones that loved you. But then the ones that just absolutely hated you and despised you and were disgusted by an act, whether you were right or wrong. Him understanding that now, I think you can truly just play free. Because when I was young, I used to play for every single fan. I thought, oh, I owe them everything. And then like halfway through my career, I realized there's only a small percentage of fans that really love you. The rest are just going to ride the wave. So if a lot of people hate you, they're going to hate you. If a lot of people love you, they're going to love you. I think now Colin could just say, you know what? I'm washed of all that. So getting back to Billick's point, the ultimate question is, does he love this game?
So Kyle,
and if he does, he'll be good.
Are you surprised we haven't heard from him? Why haven't we heard from him? That's what somebody like Billick needs to hear.
Speak up.
Yeah, I mean, I would
Why aren't you out there saying, I'll play for – but there's too many questions about Colin Kaepernick and his focus. Why doesn't he clear the air?
I would agree. I would think you would say, listen, I'm a new man. I want a new city. I want a fresh start. I'm a raw athlete. You've seen what I can do. I'm in shape. I'm focused. Pretty much the one thing that he has said is I'm not going to kneel, which, I mean, that's fine. He took care of it. It's probably a business decision, in my opinion. But I would be screaming from the rooftop because I don't have a job.
Right.
And now I'm hearing whispers I might not play again. This could be a wrap. I would go on Twitter and wherever I have to do, go on shows. Come on our show.
Right.
I want to play. I'm ready. I have a clear head and a clean body, and I'm ready to roll.
Right. I would say this. When he took that knee – in that preseason game, and then the next one in San Diego, he knew there would be consequences, and he actively took that knee. So now, He said it.
He said there'd be consequences. He said, I'm willing to deal with him.
He rode that, you know, he had a cause, and he says, I'm going to risk it all, and I know what's going. He might have risked it all.
And he knew, I'm not Aaron Rodgers either. Like, I'm not a superstar in this league.
I'm not
right
a made
now.
Man.
He did it.
Is the juice worth the squeeze? Or the knees, I guess, in this case. I don't know. We're finding out.
You know what's crazy is just dating back to this whole thing when it first started, he did it quietly. And it was like the only image we had was from a fan taking a picture of them in a pregame.
It was in press
like,
box.
Remember, it was like spot shadowed.
Yeah, like he didn't come out.
And then it was on Time Magazine.
All that has happened since that one moment where guys have kneed before. And maybe guys had took a knee during the national anthem for the same reason.
And we didn't know.
Yeah. And all this has failed on his plate since then. So I'm interested to see what the league does, what teams do, and if Kaepernick plays again.
I said
it'd be interesting to
see
how good
he is. I'd love to hear from him.
I like said on Coward Show, he'll get a job August, September. It'll take that
long. Like a camp thing?
Yeah,
think somebody get hurt?
Yeah, someone goes down. Kaepernick, Cutler, those guys, that's when they're going to get signed.
But why? So we have Brian Billick on our set today, and he says the thing about a team will make a deal with the devil if the talent level is there. So do you agree with him? Is it more about teams out there are seeing that guys like Aaron Murray and Geno Smith have more talent than him? Because then it's hard to reckon. It's hard to make sense of. It seems to be about the decisions he's made and the distractions that he potentially
Aaron
poses.
Murray might be better in that quarterback's room. There's no intention of Aaron Murray to ever suit up and play.
But you say...
But what we've seen, what have we seen August, more than anything? Backups play.
Mm-hmm. You say August, September.
More. So I think all summer without a team.
To that question... It might take all summer for some of these teams to realize, holy smokes, our quarterbacks suck.
We got Glennon and Sanchez and Connor Shaw. Maybe we need Kaepernick.
Uber athletic dudes sitting at home.
Michael
let's
Irvin.
Give him a shot.
That
Michael
has to commit, though. I want to see the. I'm with coach. Like,
I think we all
the focus?
Want that. Like,
where was your
show me your workout shots?
At least Adrian, you can say what you want about Adrian Peterson. He's at least out there putting it on the gram every day. I'm working out. I'm doing this. I'm doing that.
I'm in agreement in that.
I think Michael.
If your heart's
Irvin,
not in it, sit at home.
I'm hearing people chirping about me wanting $8 million, whether it's true or not. I'm going to come out and say that it's not because I have an image and I want to. You know, I'm letting it be known. He's not doing that.
It's true. We kind of laugh about all these guys always tweet and Instagram their workout photos, getting my grind,
being thirsty.
I'd love to see that from Kaepernick running in a pool or jumping out of a pool or something.
We
want to
see. We want to see thirsty.
Tell me you
want
to play. Tell me what. Tell me you want to play.
Michael Irvin had a point. I think he was actually on ESPN, which he was on First Take. I was watching it over the week, and I don't know why he was on it. Whatever it was, he was promoting something. He said, "There's a famous barometer. And it's how much am I willing to deal with off the field based on how good you are on it." Mm-hmm. And it's I could put up with a lot of crap. You know, Odell Beckham does a lot of crap, but he's so damn good that it's worth it. Or off the field stuff.
Them
like
Cowboys.
All those Cowboys. You know, think about Irvin
about
and all those.
I'm not talking about
Irvin.
Cowboys.
Irvin's. Is Kaepernick, and I don't know if it's not negative off the field, it's just something off the field. It's mm-hmm. anything.
Joe Thomas described it, a quote unquote distraction, anything your teammates are asked about that is about you.
Yes.
And they would be asked about that, certainly.
At least one day.
Yeah, and who knows what's going to happen with our current president and politics right now, and it certainly could snowball as the season starts, and it'll get asked a lot.
Yeah, you're a distraction for lots of different reasons. Tim Tebow is a distraction mm-hmm. to lots of NFL teams, just they don't want to deal with the cameras there all the time. And
that's true.
Strangely enough, it was Bill Belichick who took that risk.
Yeah, right. And then Chip Kelly.
So many teams that have dealt with so much worse, which is kind of baffling. You know, when you think about guys that were signed on the right, I'm not going to call him by, but look at Hardy.
Greg Hardy.
Look at Hardy.
Yeah.
But
Hardy could get to the quarterback, and that's why they brought him in.
That's true.
He was good.
But, you want to talk about taking a stand for something. Like, I was blown away that anybody would take a chance on a guy like that. And Colin Kaepernick takes a knee because he wants this nation to be better. Like, as a fan, you'd rather have a guy with issues putting his hand on a woman.
How many sacks does he get?
Versus a guy that quietly sits back and says, there's something that I want to do better for this nation and my race. I don't know. It's just
as it's a Faustian deal, as Billick said, a deal with the devil if you could help me on football field.
Right.
And if they don't believe Colin and again, it's not the devil. I'm not saying it's the devil. But
Yeah, I know what you're saying, though.
No, but Hardy was close, and he was on the field playing for America's team.
Yeah.
Right.
By the way, Billick crushed it. I think we have him back later on in the week. Love
I think
having
he's on
him. Yeah, great love
studio,
having him.
Man.
In
he's
studio.
Got presence care.
So make sure to tune
he does.
In, guys. What do we get everything we missed?
I think one last thing, just Raiders to Vegas.
Oh yeah,
let's do it.
Raiders to Vegas. Are we going to a game, guys? We're going to Vegas for a weekend.
So it'll be the Las Vegas Raiders. They're voting on it right. Anybody on their Twitter? Did they vote on it? They're voting on it sometime on Monday.
Yeah,
so
we're doing
apologize.
This Monday, and it'll be done by the time you probably listen to it.
Mm-hmm. But I think they need 24 out of 32 votes. It's looking like they'll get that and more public money there in Las Vegas. Peter, break it down.
Yeah, so I was critical on the show of the move, and I heard a lot on Twitter about it, and I don't think our bosses probably were thrilled or doing somersaults over the fact that I was, bashing it a little bit. But basically, they've got a crappy stadium in Oakland. It's the 32nd best stadium in the league. They play on a
small
baseball
too.
Field. It's small. It's terrible. Parking lot, and there's dangerous stuff. All this stuff. The stadium's falling apart. So they've tried for the last 5 years to come up with different proposals to, Oakland and the league and the Raiders to say, hey, let's find a new stadium. Let's try to finance this. There have been multiple good efforts made. There have been multiple lack of efforts made. The NFL came in and said, we'll provide you with the funds. Just do something. At the end of the day, Vegas presented an option saying $750 million of tax money. We will provide you. Bank of America came in and said, we will send up the loan of $300 million.
There's a lot of tacos on Dollar Taco at night.
The owner, Mark Davis, looks like he doesn't have to give up a portion of his ownership at all. Originally, the thought was he'd have to give up a lot of the team to do this. It really makes a lot of sense fiscally for the owners, for the owner, Mark Davis, and for the Raiders franchise to make a pretty penny on this. But I'm sad. Mm-hmm. To me, it seems like a financial decision, even though how cool Vegas might seem on paper.
I think it seems like a novelty. I love the Rams going back to L.A. I hate the Chargers going to L.A., and I don't like the Raiders going to Vegas. It seems like a cheap novelty that's not their home, that's not where they belong. Odd sort of transient city
Would
with tourists.
Would you be upset if the Raiders went back to L.A. instead of the Chargers?
If it was the Raiders and Rams there, I'd like that better.
Yeah.
But we can't have three teams.
I'm with you.
I keep coming back to
the Vegas
thing. Like, you're in a, like a tourist town that's about the big fight and the
big
MMA.
You had a funny line in the show. You said Clams Casino at the circus.
No, it's
these things that are great in the moment.
The Vegas and then mentality. You... this seems like a good idea, and then you do it. And it actually
the
is
definition
a horrible
of Vegas.
Idea. And no, it sounds right. Like some of the worst days of my life are Sundays in Las
They're
Vegas.
They're the worst.
Awful. Like throwing up outside a window on the 15 South as I drive in 5 miles an hour traffic. McCarran's.
And you got to go to In-N-Out before you get on that plane, especially if you're coming back
to
east.
You have to go to In-N-Out. It's the last place you're going to get it. So I'm going to an NFL football game, and I'm going to sit with people with Darth Vader helmets and like in the 50th row of the second mezzanine to watch Raiders Titans.
You're woozy. Your stomach's
hurting. Get me out of here.
But are we underestimating how hard Raider Nation goes?
They go hard.
Raider Nation goes hard.
I think you're right.
The fallout on Twitter, we have a huge Raider fan base on Good Morning Football. There really isn't much jersey burning mentality going on. They're like,
let's go.
I just had a guy say, you know what? I have season tickets and I'm from Seattle. I won't be making the trip. I'll be watching on TV. Okay, that's fair. Nobody's being so far.
But you know what it is, Kay? I brought up the analogy earlier of breaking up with somebody but still haven't lived together. I feel like the Raiders fans, because they still have 2 years of the Raiders playing in Oakland, they're just being cordial. Like, they know that you're going to move out. It's kind of like, all right, cool. I'm not going to cuss you out, but I know you're leaving me. But I think in 2 years, when it goes to 3 years, when it goes down, there's going to be some jersey burning. There's going to be some tears.
If they're winning, there's no problem. I think in these next couple of years, if they're not winning and they're in Oakland, then they got problems.
I agree with that. And I look at these guys on Twitter, Raider Nut 0502 or whatever. I think they're very passionate, very into it, and I think they're excited and saying, you know, we're ride or die fans. No matter, you can go to Alaska and we're going to the games. We'll see. We'll see weekend after weekend at Southwest Flight. I don't know.
So
you're a Raider fan, and you're in Oakland.
Yes.
And you get to say, well, you know, my 30-something years, I've been a Raider fan. Brooke, I got to go to Vegas. Like, I got to keep it going. This is like my one thing. I got to
peace
out.
Sell.
Brooke, Evelyn, Calvin,
every
Lydia,
eight Sundays.
My spike shoulder pads.
Me and Trey are Sundays. Going to Vegas. I mean.
Hey, babe.
Yeah, we got to leave on Wednesday. We'll come back Tuesday. Just,
just give yourself enough time.
Well, Peter, what did you say? What
it will
did you
be hard to get
They got
that,
the tailgate on Friday.
Huge amount of tourists wanting to come.
Going to the post game Monday, Tuesday.
I'm going to Blue Man Group. I'm going to Rod Stewart at the Caesars. You know, and maybe I'm going one time.
But if you're like young and you love football,
yes,
you've got to love, you know, when you go to Vegas, you go hard the whole weekend.
Yes.
So you can pull it together on a Sunday.
If it was Saturday,
it'd
be so much better. You could pull it together Sunday, but then you got to work Monday, right?
So I've got Tiesto at Omnia on Saturday night. I'm not here's my other thing that is actually really interesting, and the NFL has softened their stance on this once the money starts talking. But 2 years ago, okay, we were talking about Tony Romo wasn't allowed to do a fantasy football conference in Vegas because the NFL
was
like,
big deal.
No Vegas and no NFL. We can't mix those worlds. And suddenly we're
as
all
players.
It's great that they're doing that. I like that they're doing that.
We're going to loosen the tariffs all of a sudden.
Yeah, they should. I mean, it's the elephant in the room. Everybody gambles on football. Football gambling runs the industry.
That's frustrating
though
to the players.
Oh hell yeah, it is. And how about the league employees who are going to be there working in Vegas? Are they going to be allowed in the sports books?
What's frustrating to the players?
Well, what Peter's talking about.
You couldn't make money on it 2 years ago. Suddenly now that you're going to be able to make money on the Raiders, the Vegas
when it's good for you as a league.
You're okay with it?
You were saying Romo couldn't go and make money off of Vegas. Now you are as a league. It's frustrating, very frustrating. The question I have though: when will they be the Vegas Raiders? Like, is it
the
when
thought
they move?
Is, and it's not official yet.
2020,
2019, they would move and play at Conn and Mac or whatever the.
But they're still the Oakland Raiders till then.
I think Conn and Mac.
I like the way
stadium.
You said it too. I like Vegas Raiders, not even Las Vegas.
Yeah,
it rolls
Vegas.
Right off
they're
the
top. Oakland Raiders the next two seasons.
Okay.
I believe.
So they still have an opportunity to win a Super Bowl as the Oakland Raiders.
Yeah.
That's the good thing.
Or
that's
they have
the
an opportunity
silver lining in all this,
of going to this dump of a stadium in Oakland and having an empty stadium for 8 home games for
what
2 years.
What if it's the AFC title game played in UNLV Stadium?
Tom Brady in the UNLV?
Can you imagine stadium? That? Or the StubHub Center, the Chargers get there? Yeah. It's a joke. I hate it. But
you guys are also – Peter, you brought up the point of like, oh, you know, players being there and visiting. It's like a bad scene, bad temptation. Do you really think so, though?
Man. Maybe not.
You know how like – NBA, obviously.
They fly in
thing.
On Saturdays, though, Kay.
Right.
So, like, if you're in Green Bay, you're flying in on a Saturday, you're in Appleton, you go to bed, you play your game Sunday. You can't tell me a player's not flying in on Saturday and hearing the ding, 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 ding in the lobby.
In the airport, even.
So you think that they're
willing
to. They're
going to put him in a hotel off the strip, bro.
Of course.
And they'll find their way to the strip, bro.
Burleson.
Yes. And it might not be the Las Vegas strip. It might be a different kind of strip. And it might
like a strip club?
Oh, hey,
I
now.
See you working there. Look out.
Hey, now.
A different kind of strip.
Hey, wow. Baby.
Are you talking about a comic strip? No.
Make it rain, baby.
Are they going to do anything that they don't already do?
Eyes up here.
Yeah, I think so.
Why?
Vegas' whole thing is what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
So you're gonna show up to the game with glitter all on your face?
Yeah. I think you insult the strip clubs of Appleton, Wisconsin.
You're not studying your game book, your playbook. You're studying Destiny.
Oh, Destiny.
And Destiny is not an object; it's a woman.
Oh, you're talking about Destiny, cinnamon, and cocoa.
Yes,
they're running a different playbook.
We're not talking about cakes.
If they
we're talking
fly
about
in
cocoa.
Saturday and yes. out Sunday, they can't get in all that much trouble.
Of course
trouble.
They can.
I don't think so.
And oh, the women in Vegas! Oh my lord, this is trouble. I'm telling you, this is going to be bad news.
You know those guys who hand out those cards on the sidewalks? Oh, they're saying, yeah. "Go here, go here."
Rookie's
going to
be like,
be
barking.
But they leave the all right, so they could
look
leave
at
the
where
room.
They look at where they stay in New York, okay?
Where
you
they
put
stay?
Them in the somewhere
East
who
Rutherford,
knows, way further than East Rutherford.
Yeah, but they don't have the Bellagio
there.
Right here in Manhattan.
But Nate,
or
to
in
your
they have Manhattan in Manhattan.
I know, but you can't. There's no large spread casinos.
There's
no
strip
huge,
clubs.
Yeah, but I, Vegas ones.
But Nate,
I hear.
To your point today on the show, I thought this was interesting. You said that as a grown man, if they suddenly started to be stricter in Vegas than they were in, say, an Indianapolis Colts game in Indianapolis, yeah. you'd be pissed. Like, don't yeah. question my judgment,
just
right?
Just like Cedric Entertainer said, I'm a grown-ass man, dog. Like, as a coach, you're going to come over here and tell me that I have a different set of rules in Las Vegas than I do when I go to California or when I go to Miami, New York. It doesn't matter where I am. I'm a grown man with money, and you can't tell me where I need to go. If the rules
still
apply.
You can't tell me Vegas is that much different than Miami.
I think the gambling is, for sure. And I think that the legalized prostitution thing is
And
huge.
Billick said something. He said it's the perception of Vegas. What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. You know what it is. People go to Vegas to get in trouble. Come on now.
There
we're all
second
adults.
You land. Vegas.
The second you land, you're like, let's be bad.
It's
funny. Girlfriends never like.
I swear to God.
My boyfriends go to Vegas.
My wife, if I say, hey, we're going to a bachelor party in Charleston in South Carolina, she's not rolling her eyes.
Or Miami.
I say Vegas. Why do you have to go to
Hell
Vegas?
Yes.
Yeah. Check in. Make sure to check in.
Sorry, no reception.
Tell
me, is it true?
Is what true?
Is it true that girlfriends should be more worried?
No,
I think it's absolutely true. I've been on bachelor parties where guys do terrible things.
Nah,
terrible. Absolutely. Are you crazy?
I feel like girls get in trouble anyway.
Yes.
I feel like guys can get in trouble anywhere. Like, you know,
that's my point.
It's just easier
trouble,
to do it then.
It.
I think it's
you
easier.
Go.
You don't have to look at
there. You go.
It's well,
the
way,
I think it's a little exaggerated. I think the whole Vegas thing. Like, I've never. I'm speaking.
You remember the NBA All-Star game?
Yeah, I've my friends and I don't
do
anything
nefarious.
Do
you know what that logic is?
But the media
like?
Will make it. It will exaggerate it and it'll be in the papers more. Mm-hmm. And if you're. I mean, there's cameras everywhere.
Everywhere.
That
everywhere.
Lobby is going to be packed with work, and I'm not talking about work. I'm talking about workers.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So,
oh
guys are going
God.
To
ladies of the night.
I'm saying that you know how it is. Like you travel into different cities. Vegas is the opportunity for, like you said, guys
thirst,
to get in
saying.
Trouble. And in the day and age we're in, people to put guys in position to get them in trouble.
And this isn't the NBA when you've got 12 men on a roster who travel every day and are guaranteed contracts. This is the NFL where the 53rd man on the roster.
Yeah.
Might not be making that NBA money.
And he might not be able to go to Vegas in offseason on his
I'm
own.
Saying.
No, there's marks, too. I worry. I mean, you remember what happened to Javon Walker?
Yep.
Guys wear jewelry.
Almost
guys
died.
Carry exactly. Yeah. Bad things.
Got beat up.
Yeah, I mean, this one thing to talk about the women. Like, I'm worried about what some of the guys might be up to with NFL team in town. I mean, look, I call it a time bomb on the air today. It's probably going to happen. It'll be very exciting from a spectator perspective, but I think it's dangerous. I
yeah.
do.
Yeah.
I'm surprised you guys aren't seeing it like L.A. when L.A. teams are going there.
I want to.
Look, I mean, there's
I don't
a
view
lot
LA
of
as
to do,
nefarious.
And there's a lot of distractions, and nobody's really standing out. Like, Todd Gurley doesn't really stand out. Mm-hmm. He's walking on the street.
It's
like,
LA,
kind
though.
Of like that.
There's, yeah. there's celebs
might be
everywhere.
The same. There's a lot of high rollers. There's
to
a lot
your
of
point,
people
though,
with money that are
sure.
running around.
I feel like whatever does happen in Vegas.
They could just go Vegas, see a J-Lo show.
I'm into
want,
that.
You know?
If they potentially move there,
residency.
As we think they
waiting
will.
Waiting for tonight.
Whatever happens in Vegas, let me be clear. Happens and will happen in every other NFL city. It's just that in Vegas, it's going to be so blown out of proportion that it's going to seem like it's a new thing. But let me be clear again. The chaos that you guys are assuming is going to happen in Vegas has happened in every other NFL city and will happen in every other NFL
you
city.
Now,
it's just that the magnifying glass is
LA
bigger.
Has a Tao. That's very Vegas-y. Beauty and
Tao.
Essex, they have that right. in Vegas. There's all of those same sort of elements.
I just think in the next couple days – it's going to go down. Obviously, on Monday, it'll be going down. And you're going to see a lot of praise for this. I'm glad that our show gave a little bit of a counterbalance because you're not seeing it elsewhere. And it's fair to question some of these moves. And when you move three teams in 14 months, to me, that's not a great thing for the league. That's my
takeaway. My takeaway is the four of us need to go to Vegas. That's what 100%. I'm saying.
100%.
What do you think happens when these teams go to London?
I don't know. Kyle, London?
How likely is it that Good Morning?
But it's just a trip, though.
How likely is it that Good Morning Football is being sent to Vegas?
What are you talking about? I don't know what you mean. The desert? It's easy. A desert climate to travel to, three quarters of the way across the country. I'm sure we'll go.
Time zones, Kyle.
Exactly right. I forgot about that.
Us four at McCarran Airport is all I need.
Oh, yeah. Oxygen bar. Hello.
Anything else? Anything to spin forward? We've got the draft coming up. We will be there, by the way, talking about our show, Making Moves. We'll be live in Philly, I think, for 3 days. Is that right?
If not four, I think Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Wednesday to we're gonna have a show on a Saturday morning. We're not gonna look good on that Saturday show.
Remember that day after Thanksgiving show? Remember that one? That's the Saturday at the draft show.
Anything else? That's pretty good time.
If you have some aftershocks, send it to me, please.
Whoa. You guys got to know where to find us. Go to iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. Also, NFL.com/podcast.
Watch us
on GMFB.
Good Morning Football, NFL Network, 7 a.m. Eastern. Bye.